Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland. And discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Hey folks, welcome to the Unsung Podcast, Advertising Edition.
Advertising Edition, side B. Go on our Patreon and donate for a month. You will be rewarded with access to the AAA Facebook group.
Facebook.
The platform for young people. Anyway, we've learned a lot while studying this. Our marketing is going to be second to none going forward.
We're going to be using AI to make tunes.
iTunes. So last episode, as you probably just heard, we talked a little bit about the psychology, the science behind music and advertising. How does it work? Why does it work? How does it hack our brains? What makes for a successful campaign versus what just makes for a competent campaign? We also talked a wee bit about the history. Where did it start? Talked a wee bit about way back in the days when music was initially just used to capture your attention. And then, you know, through broadcast media and then things like Muzak, which started to associate music with a bit of prestige in shopping environments. And then on you go, people start writing tunes specifically for products. And then beyond that, that fades out in the 80s and you start to have actual pop stars who have got their own sort of capital coming to the table and mixing that with the products. And from there, we get to where we are now, which is sort of like a bit of a mix of everything. Plus the fact that the environment's changed so much because we don't have many of the same approaches and mediums that we had before, but some of it's still there. This week, what I think we're going to do is we're going to take all that learning and we're going to apply it to a whole bunch of examples. We have a few categories that we've used to sort of break it down. That will come later in the show. But for now, I think a really good place to start is to look at the interactions that some famous groups have had with the world of advertising, their own material, licensing, disputes, that kind of thing. So let's dig into that.
Let's get into it.
There's a lot we could pick from, but I've picked some of the kind of like big hitters here. And let's start with one that I am pretty sure even just saying the three words will make a lot of people's fucking anuses clench. I'm loving it. Oh, there's that bum clench.
It's a jingle.
Yeah.
Incorporated.
It is.
From a song.
It's from a song, that's it. So McDonald's enlisted the Neptunes and Justin Timberlake to produce and record a new song called I'm Loving It. Now that's quite a bold move. That isn't the norm these days. That a company goes out and commissions a new piece of something, especially not from people of that tier. and that cost level. Timberlake's involvement clearly generated a lot of buzz at the time, and the campaign was quite astutely used as like the slogan for all their billboards and things like that as well. It was really, really reinforced. And as, I mean, you can still hear that slogan on advertising now.
I'm loving it. Is this the place to eat? Since I don't cook, I'll just rock to the beat. I'm loving it. At the end of the day, to relieve the stress, we add a little play. I'm loving it. Sometimes we have mishaps. You're just overcoming it.
21 years later.
Just a leitmotif now. It's not even the song. It's just the words.
Whatever the fuck it is, which bears almost no resemblance. Like, it's Chinese whispers. It's so different from the original thing, but yet it's still clear in the association. All the iterations are there in our heads, even though we don't realise it. That actually also landed. What they did was quite clever. They released the song first without making the origins of it known, and then they launched the advertising campaign. So they were actually capitalising on the credibility that the song had initially acquired. And it was only later that people realised that this was all part of the rollout of this product. Another one, actually, in the similar vein, do you know the band Owl City?
Yep.
Right, so Oreo Cookies did a thing with them where they wrote a song called Wonderfilled.
Wonder if I gave an Oreo to the big bad wolf, how would the story go? Would he still go huff and puff, or would...
And the video.
I only know one song by Owl City, and it's a really famous one, is it?
Well, I'll cut it in here. It's pretty astonishing that a band would just whore itself out like that.
An artist.
Well,
one guy.
An artist, okay. Now, certain artists prohibited or at least disputed sync use of their music. One that I'll go straight to is Nirvana, because when I was growing up, Nirvana was almost never used in advertising for that very reason, and indeed in film. It's an interesting aside, by the way, that Kurt refused to let Nirvana be used in the film's singles. Yeah, but when the rights ended up in Courtney Love's hands, there were then a few instances of things being allowed, and that's actually quite a common phenomenon, that there's a bit of slippage when the rights pass on.
Hand with the Beatles as well.
We are about to get to the Beatles, a nice long chunk on them, but before we get there, let's talk about the Beastie Boys.
They're very famous for it.
Yeah, so the toy company Goldilocks, which basically designed and manufactured toys that were supposedly aimed at girls, and I don't mean that in the sense of like dolls and cakes and shit. I mean, like, they were trying to do a sort of vaguely quasi-political thing to give girls educational toys, you know, that weren't patronising. But regardless, they used a parody cover of the song Girls. Girls?
Girls?
By Girls. Beastie Boys. Yeah.
Girls.
Now, the original one of that mocked women's roles in the kitchen and stuff, it was quite tongue-in-cheek. And the cover, which changed the words, claimed to be working against stereotypes by gently mocking the original.
Back in the day, there was this girl around the way. She liked my homies MCA. He said he would not give her play.
The Beastie Boys claimed copyright infringement, and then actually Goldilocks, the company, sued them, claiming fair usage due to their ironic intent. And the Beastie Boys, first of all, didn't disagree with the sort of stated aim of, oh, we're trying to poke fun at women's perceived roles. But they did cite the clause in Adam Yauch's will that read, quote, "In no event may my image or name or any music or any artistic property created by me be used for advertising purposes." Now, Goldilocks said they didn't know about that and they withdrew the ad, but then the Beastie Boys countersued them and eventually won. I think the Beastie Boys by this point were just a bit irked that Goldilocks would be so fucking obnoxious as to first of all sue them and then try and argue it. And aside from a forced apology from the company, the settlement included, quote, "a payment by Goldilocks based on a percentage of its revenues to one or more charities selected by the Beastie Boys that support science, technology, engineering and mathematics education for girls."
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that one ended, when somebody just took it upon themselves without checking to see if it was okay. Let's talk about the Beatles, who you nodded to a minute ago. First of all, we should note that around about the time of Hard Day's Night, George Harrison and John Lennon actually did a skit thing where they plugged Marlboro cigarettes in what proved to be a total coup for the brand.
Mm-hmm.
John?
Yeah?
John?
What's that, George?
Have you got a cigarette for me, please?
I think I've got one here for you, George. It's Marlboro.
I've just got a packet.
With a micro-knee finger.
Marlboro with a micro-knee finger?
No.
Why? Thank you very much, John.
It's a big cigarette for a big man.
Ha, I will light it down.
It's wild.
Kind of odd. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly, I guess it's quite naive back in the day that someone would do that for free, effectively. But then there was the Nike ad. Now, George Harrison gave a really quite an angry interview to MTV after Nike used the track Revolution 1 in a 1987 advert.
Do something. Anything.
You want a revolution? Well, you know, we all want
Time Magazine.
Imagine using that.
Yeah. Time Magazine had published a scathing article at the same time about the Beatles, quote, shilling for Nike. The Beatles objected to the use in court, and it was actually settled out of court, with the outcome never really being revealed. I would assume it involved a lot more cash from Nike. Yoko Ono claimed that she was happy that the advert allowed John's music to be appreciated by new audiences, doubtless for a fat check, and that it prevented him being deified. But Time Magazine observed that it only took a couple of executives and a few seconds for Lennon to go from generational musical genius to jingle writer. Yoko Ono also had allowed Citroën to use John Lennon's image, along with people like Marilyn Monroe, in a 2010 Citroën advert, which caused quite a lot of outrage among fans.
It's, I think in the case of Revolution, it's important to note that they didn't own the rights to their music.
Let's talk about that. So the Beatles' master rights at the time were controlled by EMI in Europe and Capitol in the USA.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Michael Jackson's control of the catalogue led to him apparently taking dozens of pitches, some of which he decided purely based on his personal feelings for the songs. So, for example, apparently Michael Jackson had decreed that Fool on the Hill and Eleanor Rigby were both out of bounds for any sync, but he would entertain offers for others. The first British advert to feature a Beatles song wasn't until 2008. It was a John Lewis Christmas advert, and it was a cover version.
Cover of Golden Slumbers.
No, From Me to You.
Me to You?
Yeah.
I've got everything that you want, like a heart that is oh so true.
They must have done Golden Slumbers later on.
Later on then. But that cover of From Me to You is grating as fuck. Then in 2011, Apple rattled through a medley of Magical Mystery Tour to announce that they'd secured the Beatles catalogue for iTunes. The Beatles Let It Be was used in 2019 for the 90-second farewell advert for the Volkswagen Beetle, when that car was retired from production. It is a cover. And it is worth noting, though, that against all of that and all their outrage, both George and Ringo appeared personally in a Pizza Hut advert.
Yeah.
Again, dirty boys.
Weird. I think it's like that kind of underlines something which we've not really often spoken about in this podcast, actually, is that if bands get to a certain level, their rights, like their labels or their management companies or production or rights holders, will often just sell the rights to the highest bidder, which is how Michael Jackson got his hands on the Beatles. I actually think Bruce Springsteen did that fairly recently. I think he sold all the rights to his catalogue fairly recently.
Let's talk about him in a second then. First of all, Mike Love of the Beach Boys. Mike Love is apparently kind of miffed that the group had never been asked to actually sing for adverts. There's a quote from him.
Of course he would.
Yeah. There's a quote from him that says,
"MAGA cunt.
We'd be very willing to do commercials, provided they didn't hype toxic waste or nuclear plants, whiskey or cigarettes. But if a company is selling hide-a-beds and is willing to part with lots of dinero, why not?" And Bruce Springsteen. So he actually refused Chrysler. Back
he refused
in the day.
A lot of people, yeah. Even film, TV and all that for a long, long time.
And Time Magazine had said around about the same time they were writing about Lennon thing that they feel John Lennon would probably have done the same. Their full comment went, Chrysler wanted Bruce Springsteen for a major campaign and floated an offer estimated at $12 million and counting. Springsteen responded, as he always does to such propositions, he refused even to discuss it. When he sang in Badlands, quote, "I believe in the faith that can save me," Springsteen was summoning up the spiritual power of rock. John Lennon held to the same articles of faith. Mark David Chapman killed him, but it took a couple of record execs, one sneaker company and a soul brother to turn him into a jingle writer. So there you go. That's that scathing rundown on the Beatles fiasco and the Nike advert. Now, while we're talking about famous examples, we, via the pre-episode chat, decided we were going to use a number of categories, and we kind of ended up as follows. Best original jingles and or songs. Songs made famous by adverts, and I've got an asterisk here that says, including songs that were sort of rejuvenated for a new generation of listeners. We've got songs that were already famous, including the ones that were best used. Not all of them were best used. And then we've got the worst examples of sync, i.e. songs ruined by their use in adverts. Right, so I think we should just work our way through that first one. Mm-hmm. Best original jingles and songs. And I think what we're really talking about here is the best versus the most effective, I guess, because a lot of these are actually pretty shite, but they worked quite well. So I think we're ultimately probably talking about recognisability, because that seems to be the bottom line of this. A lot of them, as we mentioned, stem for the 70s and 80s heyday in the UK when jingle writing was at a premium. That's before the big pop acts took over. So, off the top of my head, Shake and Vac.
Yep.
Well, Shake and Vac from Gladys here. It's all you have to do. Do the shake and vac and put the freshness back. Do the shake and vac and put the freshness back. When your carpet smells fresh, your room does too.
You do the shake and vac, you put the freshness back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mars. Mars D.
Tremendous value. Really satisfying. The biggest Mars bar ever.
Helps you work, rest, and play. You mentioned it earlier, Body Form.
Body Form. Narrow at the back for comfort, wider at the front for absorbency.
Whole Body Form.
That fucking ripper. Now, like, I've spoken about this before because it's the OTT 80s power rock thing, right? That big fucking bluesy, soulful, like, rock thing. Here's one. Chicken Tonight.
Yep,
I feel like
Chicken Tonight. Yeah.
Who introduces Chicken Tonight Simmer Sauces? And suddenly everybody's saying,
I feel like Chicken Tonight, like Chicken Tonight. Chicken Tonight.
Choose from six.
Oh man, that scored really highly in a poll of like the most recognised jingles. Toys R Us.
Yep.
Now, apparently, an interesting one about Toys R Us, if you're from an American audience, you will have a different Toys R Us jingle, because I listened to the American one that makes loads of lists and I've never heard it in my life. Mm-hmm. Over here, we had like, was it soon after bedtime, yeah, when dark night time falls,
place,
yeah,
magical
Jeffrey
place,
and
yeah,
helpers, yeah, stuck up all the shelves. Mm. It's called Toys R Us, Toys R Us, Toys R Us. Yeah. We had, do you remember the Milky Way one, the red car and the blue car? It's like an animated thing. There's like a red car and a blue car taking different paths, and the song is the red car and the blue car had a race.
Yes, I do remember
like
that.
Mm-hmm. And then it's got Milky Way mentioned in it. A really, really high placer on some of these lists is Just One Cornetto.
Just one cornetto, give it to me. Delicious ice cream of Italy. The grand
Just One Cornetto,
from
Walls
Ice Cream.
Just One Cornetto, yes.
Which is, it's like a parody of a classic kind of opera track. Yeah. Green Giant, which is weird because
Green Giant.
It's only three notes.
Yeah.
Ho, 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 Green Giant.
That is actually, identified as being one of the most efficient jingles because it never had anything else. There was nothing else going on there, but everybody goes UK and USA.
Do you know what one I've got, which is not even, it's not even got lyrics, Intel Inside. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah, but you get things like the Dolby sound opening pad thing and...
The Simpsons did a really good parody of that.
One would be the Milky Bar Kid.
Milky Bars Are On Me.
Milky Bar Kid is strong and tough. We've got, as I mentioned earlier on, that really famous American 1965 animated advert for Oscar Mayer. I'm an Oscar Mayer winner, that one. And then you've got the ones that we talked about earlier as well, the Flake, Cocoa Pops, Bran Flakes, all those ones. One that isn't a jingle but a fully fledged song, and it has to be mentioned because it effectively wins this category, is Teach the World to Sing by Coca-Cola.
I like to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I like to wire the world with funk and keep it company.
Originally written as a jingle, it was so successful that it emerged as a hit later that year. And the giveaway is probably that the song actually includes the tagline, "The Real Thing," but that became like a really famous tune. And Converse actually took a big swing at this as well, because for their centennial in 2008, again, fucking Pharrell Williams, they brought NERD, Julian Casablancas and Santa Gold together for an original tune called My Drive Through, which, I mean, it's fine. It's kind of typical Pharrell stuff.
I want you. Do you want me to? I have one question. Can I help you? Now watch me. What I do. Now thank you.
But it's
I don't even know what it is. So
it's big hitters.
I've got a couple.
Okay.
Made in Scotland from Girders.
Oh, Iron Brew.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can right here.
You know, actually, you've reminded me one for a later category. I hope I remember to say it when you've just talked about old Scottish ones here.
Go Compare.
Yep.
Yeah.
High on the annoying factor, but as a result, very effective.
Very, very regional. Maybe you're not. Tedesco's Thailand. It was on Radio Clyde a lot.
Oh, it's a radio one.
Yeah, put it in here if you get it. Optical Express.
Ugh.
Optical Express. Pick Up a Penguin.
To pick up a penguin, a lovely big penguin. When you pick up a penguin, there's so much more to enjoy. It's bigger, so delicious, chocolate flavour through and through. When you feel a little peckish, what's bigger and best for you? A penguin. To pick up a penguin. When you feel a little peckish, pick up a penguin.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, it's more of a phrase, though, isn't
it? Kind of, but it's kind of musical, I think.
Percussive. Trap.
Yeah. And Moonpig.
Yes.
Which is probably one of the good, which is one of the very few more recent examples of a successful jingle.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the thing is, so see, when people tell you these, I actually find it like, it's quite begrudging my acknowledgement of it, because I'm like, I have been hacked. I know these and I shouldn't know them because they're fucking shit. I don't fucking care about Moonpig. Fuck off Moonpig. Fuck off Tedesco Tiles. I don't fucking want these in my head, but they are absolutely.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl for 2-in-1 disinfection, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
In my head. So, next category, songs made famous by adverts. And as I said, that's including songs that were sort of rejuvenated for a new audience. And let's just start, you know, elephant in the room here. Apple gets its own subcategory here, right?
It does, for the whole Apple, 2000s.
Yeah, Apple and iPod went in big early on for this role as kingmakers for cool indie groups.
And not just cool indie groups.
Well, mainly...
mostly, but there is one really big glaring example.
Okay. Well, we'll start with Feist in the track 1, 2, 3, 4.
Feist is probably the biggest example.
It's the one that had the most proportional impact, I think. You know, that was for iPods. And it's this thing as well, even just the song itself, this whole idea of quirky, light, modern. iPods are all of those things. It was used to help cement Apple as being cutting edge, and it tapped into a kind of liberal, coastal, middle class demographic, which was kind of what Apple was marketing the iPod at that time.
It's about, like I said earlier on, it's about a lifestyle. They're marketing a lifestyle, you
yeah.
know.
Exactly, because also, even just by choosing Feist, young woman out jogging with this lightweight, portable music player, it really knew its target audience with that. Aye, totally nailed it.
That actually, it's interesting that Apple, that actually ties back to our Spotify episode, if you can remember that far back. You know, when music piracy was such a big thing, all the big record labels were trying to think about ways in which to actually monetize MP3s. And Steve Jobs was the one that ended up winning that because he loved music and he had the idea for iTunes, which ended up being the only thing that lasted up until streaming. And I guess it became Apple Music, so it's still going. But yeah, like he clearly had his sort of focus on knowing that if you're going to release a music player, then you need to make it cool.
Yeah.
And even if you didn't know the artist, you probably didn't. Or maybe he did, I don't know. Apparently he had a huge affinity for music, did Steve Jobs. But he knew the right marketing people to talk to ensure that they were going to hit that exact audience. And that was at a time when they just launched iTunes, so like they had skin in the game. You know, they're the only company. Can you name a creator of an MP3 player from that era that actually had adverts? There are none.
No, I mean, I've basically forgotten all the other manufacturers of MP3 players at that time.
Exactly. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So like they had that sewn up and they tied it directly to their store and the whole lifestyle. So the whole thing was marketing genius, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Another one by Apple, Ting Tings. Shut up and let me go. Another iPod advert that was used to boost this ultra cool new indie group. It's one of the ones with the dancing silhouettes. The song was proven a hit. despite the advert, but the advert definitely helped. That same song, by the way, was also used by Fanta for this really shitty computer animated advert the year after that also ended up being quite successful. Mm-hmm. And their track, That's Not My Name, you know, yep. That one, mm-hmm. that was used by Coca-Cola and more and is annoying as fuck.
Yes.
Now, we spoke about Jet early on, Are You Gonna Be My Girl? Originally, it was a fairly minor hit in 2003 and it was re-released to great success after soundtracking the iPod advert in 2004. It also soundtracked a Vodafone advert that year as well. It was an advert about picture messaging, which tells you again how fast things move. Mm-hmm. And the sales of their album shot up as a result. But as you say, it did start to differentiate them from these kind of cool bands that weren't being associated with advertising so much. We have to mention U2's Vertigo.
I was going to say that's the big example because they released that song on that advert, that's when it first came out.
Exactly. So it saw the band doing the whole silhouette thing. It was part of that series. Although, did you notice on that one, they weren't fully silhouetted because they did want you to know it was you too. Mm-hmm. That, by the way, that song is also what gave us that Bono meme that South Park uses. It's from that tune. And then the last one that I'll bring up with Apple, even though there's more, Gorillaz. Feel Good.
I was going to bring
ink.
That up. Yeah.
As far as I can tell, the Apple advert and the single came out at the exact same time in May 2005. Despite that kind of all-star cast in Gorillaz, for a lot of folks, the huge role the group was given in launching the iPod hi-fi docking station thing was one of the reasons that the song and then the Demon Days album did so well, Damon Albarn and all that, the associations notwithstanding. There's even footage of Steve Jobs doing, you know how he always used to do these product launch seminars. When he did his product launch seminar for that docking station, it was the Gorillaz track and the Gorillaz album artwork that was getting used to illustrate the functionality on the stage on the day of the launch. Mm-hmm. So he must have had all that in advance. So it's kind of hand in glove, you know. And it's kind of ironic as well when you consider that that track itself was intended to be a commentary on consumer culture.
Can I chuck in an example for Apple?
Yeah,
Viva La Vida from Coldplay, which also launched on the exact same day that iTunes ad came out, and then the song was also available. And 240,000 digital sales in the song's first month as a result. Which I think that probably is the song or the era when Coldplay became the really fucking annoying Coldplay
establishment
that we know
band.
Now.
So more just in general, you know, away from Apple, I wasn't sure really what category to put this one into, but left field's Fat Planet.
Yeah.
So this was the backdrop for what was voted actually the best advert of all time in that massive Channel 4 survey that they did. Basically, this is the building electro piece behind Jonathan Glazer's Surfer advert he did for Guinness.
Here's to you, Ahab! And the fat drummer hit the beat with all his heart.
That's the one with the horses and the waves that's based on the painting Neptune's Horses. Left Field already had kind of clout in the electro scene. They were really respected, but this advert was so big that it gave their overall profile just a huge boost. And I use it in this category because the actual album that it came off, Rhythm and Stealth, wasn't out at the time of the advert. So I still think technically it counts as the advert made the song big.
Yeah.
A really obvious example for Vodafone, who also got a mention earlier on, would be the Dandy Warhols' Bohemian Like You. Yeah, what's wrong with it today? I used to have one too. Maybe I'll come and have a look. I really love your hairdo, yeah. I'm glad you like mine too. See what looking pretty cool will get you. This sent the track into the top five when it had previously failed to chart on the initial release of the album. I do want to point out, I bought the album on the initial release and was pissed off when it turned up on the Vodafone advert because I knew they were suddenly going to get appropriated. But yeah, originally released in 2000 and did okay. But the band had a massive debt that they'd accrued. I think it was Capital they were with. For example, Capital had spent $500,000 on the debut video for one of their tunes. Go watch the documentary Dig, which is the Andy Warhol's and the Brian Jonestown Massacre, and the way they're kind of from growing up together and being friends, the way their fortunes sort of diverged. It's a great documentary, but they talk about this and about how this advert basically saved the group from that crippling debt, and it also sent that 13 Tales of Urban Bohemia album through the roof. I think we should mention Jose Gonzalez's cover of Heartbeats.
Yeah, I knew you were going to mention that.
Yeah, the Sony 2005, the advert's actually called Balls.
To cover heads of a world to lean on wouldn't be good enough for me. To cover heads of a
It's for the Bravia LCD TV, I think. Yeah. It's the one with loads of coloured balls bouncing down a street, which in turn led to the original song by The Knife exploding back into popular culture.
It was a few years later when I did the exploding tower blocks in Glasgow.
That's right, the paint thing.
Very cool. Yeah.
Nick Drake's Pink Moon.
I think that's a pretty huge example, I think.
Pink Moon is on its way. None of you.
Obviously he was long gone by that point, but like he was very, very unknown.
Yeah.
Until that happened, and then he suddenly was very well known.
Yeah, because so this was in a Volkswagen advert, a kind of like people driving at night, quite a dreamy one. And apparently he's credited with getting a whole load of new people into Nick Drake's back catalogue. Phoenix, 1901, that was used in a Cadillac advert the year after it came out initially to kind of sort of fairly modest acclaim. But it's credited with being a big part of their kind of overall success, especially in the USA. We don't get Cadillac adverts, but over there, it made a big impact. One that you mentioned as soon as we decided this topic, Spaceman by Babylon Zoo.
What an underwhelming song that is. It is. It starts off really cool, then it's not.
They followed it up with a track called Animal Army that shows just the shitey glam pop thing that they were anyway. But that was a Levi's advert, and I think it's also worth noting that the version used in the advert was this kind of like pitch shifted, sped up electro thing, and actually it was a fairly stodgy kind of like glammy grunge song when you heard it.
Levi, can I just make a wee mention here about how Levi's completely fucking crushed it in the '80s and nineties as well?
Yeah.
They had Marvin Gaye, I Heard It Through the Grapevine. They had Wonderful World by Sam Cooke, both in 1986. They had When a Man Loves a Woman by Percy Sledge and Benny King, Stand By Me, in 1987. They had The Clash, Should I Stay or Should I Go?
That's right, remember that one.
They had T-Rex, 21st Century Boy, and Piece of My Heart by Irma Franklin? All in 1991. Shaggy's Bombastic in 1995, and yeah, a bunch of others, but like they fucking were totally smashing it. Like jeans commercials in general, I think in the 80s and 90s were full of like
they had the budget as well, though.
Big and it's big not artists, you know.
The thing with jeans is like it's not cripplingly uncool.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it's jeans, you know. I'm sure the band's got a fair few pairs as well. Now Weaver mentioned one, Mr. Oizo's Flat Beat.
So, there's a Levi's one as well.
Yeah, and if you don't...
wear a Levi's jumper.
Fucking hell. There are other jumpers. So, audience, you do know this one. I'll cut it in, obviously. A Levi's advert with a puppet that became known as Flat Eric bobbing its head out of the passenger side of an old car. Mr. Oizo was actually at the time a fairly low profile French producer, but this song went to number one in the UK and a whole load of places in Europe. The puppet became kind of his gimmick. It was in a lot of his stuff and was actually from Jim Henson's workshop.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
There you go. And the last one I'll mention in this category, Elvis and Junkie XL.
Yeah, I was
a little less
that as well.
Conversation. So this originally went to number one in 2001 in 14 countries, including the UK, as an instrumental of all things. And this is like following the use of the original Little Less Conversation in Ocean's 11, because that was like a really big takeaway song that got a new lease of life after that first Ocean's 11 film. But then it was reused by Nike for their 2002 World Cup advert. You know, it's a bit like the Super Bowl, that the sports companies have a big advert prior to the World Cup.
The Oscar wins.
They used that Junkie XL remix, and the reissued full single went back to number one, this time in 20 countries. Did really fucking well.
So Junkie XL is quite interesting because Tom Holkenborg, his name is, he went on to become a massive film score.
Do you know, at the
guy.
Time he was the only guy that had been allowed outside of the estate to remix Elvis.
Oh really? That's cool. He's done a lot of stuff, and he's worked a lot with Zack Snyder. He's done a lot of his films. Did Deadpool, did Mad Max Fury Road. He's done a whole bunch of shite as well, like Tomb Raider and The Dark Tower, Godzilla versus Kong. But yeah, he's done a lot.
Godzilla versus Kong is fucking atrocious. Atrocious filmmaking.
The new one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he did the new one as well.
Turgid.
He did the one
filmmaking.
Before that too.
Fucking shameful.
Yeah. So he went on to make a career out of it, which is good on him. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think if that's what you really want to do, then fucking do it. Can I chuck a couple in?
Go for it.
So, Caledonia by Dougie McLean, tennis advert in 2013.
Anthem.
I would like to say also Bright Eyes, First Day of My Life.
This is the first day of my life. Swear I was born right in the doorway. I went out in the rain, suddenly everything changed. They're spreading.
So when we did the Bright Eyes episode, it became very clear. And if you're going to Spotify, or go on their Spotify, you get to see the fact that the album that's off of, I'm Wide Awake This Morning, it's got all the most streamed stuff on it.
Mm-hmm. See, I do have this song, but I have this song in the next category of already quite famous songs.
So this was put in an advert for Zillow, which is like a home, it's like kind of like Right Move in
it's
America.
Like selling your house, and it's about giving you a new, first day of your life, here's your new home, it's the first day of your new story.
That was not long after the album came out, and then after that I went on to do quite a lot of sync in film and TV.
It was also covered for a fucking Citibank advert by a woman called Gillian Edwards.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And we did mention it a little bit earlier on, but I want to kind of go down deeper on it. Like a Prayer by Madonna.
Okay.
So Like a Prayer was after Madonna got divorced from Sean Penn, she was prepping a new album to come out, and it was Like a Prayer, or the album that looked like, is it Like a Prayer?
What's going to amaze people here is that this wasn't already a famous song that was then used.
Yeah, so much like Vertigo by U2 and like that fucking Coldplay song, is like she agreed to release this song on a Pepsi commercial in order to try and promote her record, which she did, and like I said earlier on, it got in front of like 250 million American households. Then the single came out with its very controversial video, and Pepsi pulled the advert because they didn't want to be associated with it, which is fascinating.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
but it kind of served its purpose at that point.
Yeah, Pepsi know that.
So. Actually, though, now I'm thinking about it, no, it hadn't really done its purpose, because it maybe did its purpose short term, but we don't associate it with that advert long term.
We absolutely
long-term.
Do not. No, we do not.
Yeah, so the Pepsi kind of cut their own throat there.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. Whether I'm on TV or Broadway, I live by two rules. Follow your dreams and always wear great shoes. That's why I love DSW. Must-have shoes that pair well with whatever you've dreamed up for your life. Seriously, DSW has all the shoes you need for everything, from errand days to date nights. And they're from top brands at prices you can totally brag to all your friends about. That's why I've partnered with DSW to create a collection of shoes I know you'll love. Because, let's be real, whether I'm dancing on TV, teaching you how to make the perfect cocktail in my best selling book, or starting a whole new venture, it's all about the shoes. Find the shoes to do all the amazing things you do in my new collection at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent, being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Because it is a fucking cultural totem, that one. Right, next category, already famous songs, including the ones that were best used. I also think maybe this is a good juncture to mention those ones that are sort of like parody versions. We've touched on a few of them. When I walked into my house tonight, I fucking switched on the TV and the first thing I heard was Flash Speedball and it's an advert for Flash, some cleaning fucking product, and it's a parody of the Queen track, clearly. Yeah. And there's a lot of those where people tweak it a little bit to their ends. I haven't covered a lot of those, but they're out there. I'm sure you can let us know the many, 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 many examples we've missed in the comments on under the post, on the Patreon, or in the AAA group if you're there. And if you're in the AAA group, you'll get a reply. So coming in there tonight, clearly mentioned it 3 times already, reinvigorated the song for a whole new generation of people, I think. People who'd maybe heard their parents listening to it, but it kind of brought it back. One that I think is really odd as well, Mad World, the Michael Andrews, Gary Jules version, not the Tears for Fears one.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces. Hide my head, I wanna drown my soul.
Deserves a mention as well because it's such a bizarre choice, because it was used to advertise Gears of War, the really ultra-violent Xbox game, which is just very strange. And this was only recently as well. You've mentioned Bright Eyes, First Day of My Life. I would mention She's Like a Rainbow by Rolling Stones. It was used in a Christian Dior advert with Jennifer Lawrence. I have to say though, I went and watched it again, and actually, given that the advert is, in terms of colour palette, very desaturated, I mean, it's mainly just pale blue and white. She's got red lipstick on, but it actually kind of strikes me as being pretty fucking stupid, because over the advert, they're singing she's like a rainbow, and she blatantly, there's nothing rainbow about it. It seems odd. But then again, I despise perfume adverts. Elvis, go back to him. Can't help falling in love with you.
Wise men say only fools rush in.
I would say this was actually pretty cleverly used by what we call links and what American audiences will call acts to illustrate this is an ongoing theme in their adverts where women are just uncontrollably drawn to guys wearing that deodorant.
Which couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, I was going to say, as opposed to the reality where that smell is a fucking total red flag and it's actually best used after you take an especially nasty shit in someone else's toilet. Right, but yeah, I think the can't help falling in love with you thing tied in so well with the kind of themes of these adverts. That was quite clever. And one that I thought was worth a mention is that sort of Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, New York song, which has been used for a lot of stuff, but one in particular was a Spike Lee directed advert. It was paid for by State Farm, the insurance group. It was ostensibly this paying tribute to the firefighters and work, you know, emergency workers post 9/11, and it actually seemed like it was quite well received. The track itself was re-sung by kids. People seem to really emotionally engage with it. I have to be honest, I watched it, I found it quite maudlin, like, actually quite bulky stuff, but I guess American audiences are not the most subtle of people. And that brings us to what I've got as our last category, Mark, which entails the worst sync and the songs ruined by the adverts.
Yeah.
And can we just, at this point, just pause to reiterate just how much I fucking hate perfume commercials. Mm-hmm. The likes of Marc Jacobs and that, who insist on trying to co-opt some really cool groups and songs. But then again, I suppose the fact that these groups go along with it. So as we mentioned, Vicky had said The Rip by Portishead. That is a good example. I've mentioned Sonic Youth and Teenage Riot. That's another one for me where those songs are really tainted by the use in those adverts. One that will hit home for you, Born in the USA, was used by Ronald Reagan in his 1984 presidential election adverts.
The boss was not happy about that.
Much to the chagrin of Brucey.
It's also quite ironic because of what the song actually stands for and what it actually means.
Exactly.
Well
that was it. Know? They only really used that main, totally stripped it of its meaning. There's another example of that coming up.
Trump
actually
tried to do something with a Guns N' Roses song. And they were not happy about it. Was it Sweet Child of Mine or was it Paradise City? I think it may have been Paradise City.
I don't
City.
Know. A whole bunch of artists came out though and prohibited their use. Because
he was actually using the song at rallies and stuff like that. And I think it was Paradise City.
And Neil Young was clear he didn't want him using it. I would have assumed he would have been like, a man needs a maid.
Yeah.
Old man. Needle in the damage done. So The Zombies, Time of the Season. This is a fucking belter because this is bad on so many levels.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy.
This was used by Tampax. Time of the Season. Yes, Tampax. And to make matters worse, they used it to tie in with Woodstock 1999.
Oh, jeez.
And emphasise specifically how women could go and just enjoy the festival hassle-free.
That turned out to be not at all true. I've got a couple of these. Blister in the Sun by The Violent Femmes.
That's an absolute belter. So, it was used for a fish sandwich at Wendy's Diner. And that broke up the band. So the bassist sued the singer over the use because he hated its licensing so much. The two had already been kind of disputing usage and rights for a while, but that was the final straw. And the bassist said, I don't like having my sound misappropriated to sell harmful products such as fast food. That's not why we made the music. It should not be hijacked. In the lawsuit, There was a comment from a fan that they quoted to make their point, which said, "My ears perked up, then my jaw dropped, then my heart sank when they heard the tune." Although Valiant Femmes did manage to reconcile for a paycheck at the Coachella Festival in 2013 and have released two albums since then. Also, it's worth pointing out as well, Wendy's also regretted using that song, because one of their executives actually commented, quote, "Nobody wants to think about blisters while eating a burger."
Exactly.
The whole fucking thing is totally bizarre.
Bad. Another one here, "Fortunate Son" by Creedence Clearwater Revival.
New 5-star denim from Wrangler. Wrangler, real comfortable jeans.
Again, talking about stripped out meaning, so Wrangler used that and they cropped out any of the politics of the tune.
Yeah, the song's about Vietnam War. So
yeah, some folks are born made to raise the flag. Oh, the red, white and blue. No mention of all the fucking like political commentary that goes on in that tune.
Have you also got Lust for Life then?
I do have Lust for Life.
Yeah, the Royal Caribbean ad.
Royal Caribbean cruises.
I think it's something about mom in a spinning class.
Somewhere between the Mayan ruins, the ice rink, the horseback riding, and the rock wall, it hits you. This is way more than a cruise. See for yourself.
They obviously didn't get much further than the main refrain. I do think though we should add that Iggy Pop has advertised German kitchens surrounded by digital dancing otters in shades carrying cocktails. He's also advertised Grolsch, which is a fucking disgusting beer, and he's obviously also done the car insurance alongside that weird spit and image style puppet that weird. You notice how that puppet gets more accurate by the day.
Yeah.
Amazing fact, that Swift cover advert was banned when it emerged that Swift cover refused cover to persons in the entertainment industry, and thus Iggy Pop would not have been eligible for Swift cover. And in the advert, he rants on about having insurance on his insurance, which turned out to be false advertising.
Nice.
And it was banned. Some others quickly, Devo's Whip It was used by a mop.
When you got a dirty floor, Unisniffer. Under table, stove and door, Unisniffer. Never is a chore, Unisniffer.
Swiffer wet check.
It's called Swiffer. That's fucking naff. And Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back was used by Romano's Macaroni Grill, and basically, you know, greasy food, so get a fat ass by eating our food. Weezer's Island in the Sun was used by Banque Postale in France.
Imaginez. Un crédit pour les moments importants, pas pour les envies du moment.
Just fucking rotten. Santa Gold, Desperate Youth, that needs a mention. We did that during the show about Santa Gold. And that's a decent song, but it's utterly fucking rinsed by just all comers. You know, that opening electro segment has been used all over the place, most repugnantly, I think, by Direct Line. Jane's Addiction as well. Jane Says, used by addictive substance company Jack Daniels, apparently oblivious to the fact that the song is about Jane and her battle with heroin addiction. And I think the last one that I want to mention is Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan makes an appearance, and I mean an actual appearance as well as the song Lovesick, in an advert for, of all things, Victoria's Secret.
I see silhouettes in the window. I'm sick of love.
He walks about looking morose with a fucking truly awful goatee while an absurdly attractive, what I can only assume is a teenager, struts around in expensive lingerie, and it is a total chalk and cheese juxtaposition of things.
That was his first ever use in a commercial, and then 2 years later he did it for Apple with Someday Baby, which had a sort of similar
thing. Had he got rid of the goatee?
I don't know.
The teenager had probably aged out of being eligible for Victoria's Secret ads as well.
And there's one annoying thing I want to add in here, and it's What's New Pussycat by Tom Jones.
Oh, that's a fucking hellish one.
Or Felix Cat Food.
So one thing we want to make clear is this is not a comprehensive list, and actually it's purposefully not comprehensive because we really, there's no way to do a comprehensive list anyway, but we would love it if people did that thing and commented and got in touch with some of the most egregious or beloved or odd examples, mm-hmm. these weird backstories. To that end, we put a shout out to our AAA group. You can access the AAA group again by subscribing by £4 a month, and you get into that as well as early episodes, mm-hmm. as well as no ads, as well as bonus content. But some of our regulars on the AAA group chimed in with some suggestions. Mark, you want to represent?
Yeah, so one that you didn't mention is Freeze the Atlantic by Cable.
Oh my god, how could I miss that? So when we did the Cable episode, you couldn't ignore the fact that Cable did an advert for Sprite and then released a song later on called "The We Did the Sprite Ad the Blues," almost as an apology. But yeah. And it was fucking great and really odd. I remember that advert.
Craig, about that song, "I Don't Care." You know it. You do know if you hear it. For him, it's an KFC advert in Australia, but it's been on loads of things.
Oh, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yep.
That is a fucking absolute shit show.
Yep, it totally is. Fleetwood Mac has been ruined.
Icona Pop.
Icona Pop, yeah.
Is that it?
Fleetwood Mac has been ruined for him. Go Your Own Way is an Isuzu.
Isuzu, what?
Car brand Isuzu, is it?
Is that a car brand?
Isuzu.
Isuzu.
Aye.
Isuzu.
They used that. That annoyed him particularly.
It's a bit on the nose as well, Go Your Own Way, yeah. In a car.
So on here it says that The Joy Formidable, the greatest...
The Joy Formidable.
A copper, I didn't know they were on a copper bag advert, which is interesting. The greatest light, and it's the greatest light, the greatest shade, which is a song that was used there. And Tommy just like ran in a whole fucking bunch of
Tommy,
jingles. And there's a City Blinds and Shutters song, which I'm not going to click on that link, I didn't check it out.
City Blinds and Shutters,
yeah. Belly's Gonna Get Ya from Reebok, remember that?
Oh yeah, that's right. Aye.
Unless you live in Scotland, you won't know, but it's a legit banger. It's the NHS Scotland Smoking Song. It's like Hit Me Baby One More Time parody. It's actually a really good
song.
By
the way, one that we forgot to mention, Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me, for the milk adverts when I was growing up. And for years and years and years when I was a kid, I used to sing Don't You Forget About Milk.
It did its job, mate. It did its job. And that's pretty much our list of contributors. Thank you very much for all those.
Yeah. If you're listening to this and screaming something really obvious, then
literally scream at us.
Scream it with text. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed that. That was somewhat initially thrown together, and then we ended up going
down some rabbit holes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next week, we're going to keep it light-ish. We're going to do a Cover Mount mixtape. We've not done one of those in a while. Cover Mount mixtapes, for listeners that are unfamiliar, it's the CDs that used to be, or cassettes or whatever, you can hear the bag there rattling, that used to be stuck to the fronts of magazines and occasionally newspapers, and they would have all manner of different people slammed together in different themes. So we'll get a special guest for this one, but we don't know what one it's going to be. Mark is digging about inside that sack, and he has produced...
We've not done this one. We did number 5. This is Radio Kerrang Volume 6.
Radio Kerrang Volume 6, you say?
We did Volume 5 as our first ever cover mount, so we're kind of coming full circle here.
Oh, so what's on this one? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Has it got garbage on it?
It does garbage intro. They do an intro, yep. 1 minute silence.
1 minute silence.
Soul yeah. Asylum.
Oh.
Pissing Razors.
Pissing Razors. Where are they now?
Psycore.
You know what? I'm actually quite happy we're doing Psycore because I've got a wee soft spot for them. That fucking snare sound.
Everclear as well. You've got a soft spot for them.
I've got a wee hard spot for Everclear.
Bad Religion, Jerry Cantrell.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Right, okay, Radio.
Janice Stark,
that's the guitarist from The Prodigy.
Yeah. Oh.
So, Radio Kerrang Volume 6.
Radio Kerrang Volume 6. Not to be sold separately, play it serious volume.
Right, will do. Okay, we'll bring somebody in for that, and
it's got a video as well.
Is it an enhanced CD?
It's Cold with Jonathan Davies in the video.
Shit. And I actually mean shit.
Yeah.
My life is definitely not enhanced by that news. Okay, good. Well, join us for that next week when we'll work our way through that. We'll provide cultural insight and hot takes or cold takes. See you then.
Bye.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday, and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion, and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling, and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Welcome to a trip you'll never forget in Denver, where summer sunshine sparks mountain adventure. Denver, always welcome. Plan your trip at visitdenver.com/summer.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Want to make Mom's Day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat Mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.